This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Stitch for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Last week we touched upon the subject of prayer. But I would imagine that not very many of us are all that good at praying. It's sometimes really difficult to concentrate in prayer and not get distracted. A holy man, whom we now call St. Benedict, was once journeying on horseback when he met a peasant walking along the road. The peasant said to him, "You've got an easy job. Why don't I become a man of prayer? Then I too would be travelling around on horseback." The saint replied, "You think praying is easy, do you? If you can say one Our Father without any distraction, you can have this horse." "Whoa, it's a deal," said the surprised peasant. Closing his eyes and folding his hands, he began to say the Our Father out aloud. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Suddenly he stopped and looked up at the saint and said, "Will I get the saddle and bridle too?" Don't even ask me what my accent was there, because I'm not sure myself, but that story illustrates just how hard it is to really concentrate. It's also very difficult at times in prayer to find the right words to say to God. A lot of what we pray and how we pray depends upon what our image of God is. In our reading from Luke 11 today, we hear one of the disciples asking Jesus the best way to pray. And Jesus gives them a template, a perfect, all-encompassing, unique prayer known to us now as the Lord's Prayer. A few weeks ago, I played Andrea Bocelli singing this prayer, and I'd like to just play it again for you this morning. To me, it's by far the best version ever recorded. That is, apart from the one we recorded, which Andrew here composed. Isn't that right, Andrew?
Absolutely right, Sheila.
We'll put it on one of the programmes in the next few weeks. Here is Andrea Bocelli singing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in
Here's our reading taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, recently said, "It is impossible to overstate the life-transforming power of the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that's reassuring enough to be on the lips of the dying, and yet dangerous enough to be banned in cinemas. It is famous enough to be spoken each day by billions in hundreds of languages, and yet intimate enough to draw us ever closer into friendship with Jesus Christ. It is simple enough to be memorized by small children, and yet profound enough to sustain a whole lifetime of prayer. When we pray it with sincerity and with joy, there is no imagining the new ways in which God can use us to his glory." Here's a lovely hymn, "The Father's Song," sung here by Matt Redman.
I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me. The Father's song, heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me. The Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me. The Father's song, heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me. The Father's song.
Religious people of the day believed that when they prayed to God reverently, sincerely and humbly, he heard their prayers. The disciples would have been no stranger to this belief. But it was also obvious to them that Jesus had this added dimension to his prayers, for great signs and miracles were happening as a result of them. They wanted him to instruct them in such a way that they might know the same kind of presence and power of God in their lives. And so Jesus taught them. He began by addressing God as our Father, about God who was over us all, not my Father. The pronouns our, us, and we are used. It was by no means exclusive, but intended to catch us all up to look to God. A poet called Charles Thompson put it this way: "You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot say the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. Nor can you say the Lord's Prayer and not pray for another, for when you ask for daily bread, you must include your brother. For others are included in each and every plea, from the beginning to the end of it, it does not once say me." Also, the word Jesus used for Father was Abba, a far more personal and intimate name rather than God. Abba is a word that is still heard today on the lips of little children in the Middle East today. We can still hear them calling out for their daddy. But addressing God with a personal name doesn't give us permission to be flippant or over-familiar. For the instruction in this prayer is that God's name was to be hallowed, honoured, respected by all. And we hallow God's name when our life is such that it brings honour to God and draws others to him. Let's listen to Caroline Bonnet singing Abba Father from Dave Bilbrough's album Let There Be Love.
Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be
pray your kingdom come. We ask to be empowered to preach good news. We pray that captive people will be free, that blind eyes will be opened, and that the oppressed will be released, so that God's perfect will be done in and through us. We are praying for God's kingdom to be victorious over evil here on earth, and that his power will bring great changes for the good in the lives of ordinary people. We are also praying for God's kingdom, which is to come, when Jesus returns to earth one day. The Lord's Prayer goes on to say, "Give us this day our daily bread." So what does that mean? Is it just a prayer for food, for our physical needs each day? Or can we read more into it? Might it not be spiritual food too, as comes to us from reading and absorbing God's word? Didn't Jesus quote the words, "Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God"? It could be to do with listening to and acting upon the teachings of Jesus and following his example. And it could even relate to receiving bread at the Lord's table, receiving Jesus himself who said, "I am the bread of life." As we receive it, so we can go out too and be bread for others. And then, of course, it could be all of these, couldn't it? Here's a communion hymn, written by Stuart Townend and Keith and Kristen Getty. Kristen sings it. It's called Behold the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. And so we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. Body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one.
The next part is, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Matthew, in his gospel about the Lord's Prayer, uses the word forgive us our debts. The word Luke uses here for sin in his gospel means a falling short, as when a javelin or arrow misses its mark. But both in the original language Jesus spoke lead to a very similar meaning. The whole point here is that just as we desire to be forgiven, we too ought to forgive others. If we choose otherwise, we can end up with hearts full of bitterness and resentment, with minds filled with painful memories which haunt us and give us no peace. Someone put it this way: we mustn't curse, nurse, rehearse, but disperse our negativity. To forgive is to give up the right to hurt those who have hurt us. Jesus lived up to his teaching about forgiveness when, on the cross of torment, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This next song was inspired by those words and is from my album, Giving It All to You. Local singer Pete Scott accompanies me in this song, "Father, Forgive Them."
Angry faces round you, howling at you, mocking crowds all jeering as they pierce you through. Enemies are sneering and tormenting. It was then I heard you whispering, as they call you names. Totally ignored, they play their gambling games. It was then I heard you whispering, "Father, Father,
The next part of the Lord's Prayer is, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Temptation can refer to any testing situation, really. And God does not lead us there. I do believe this translation is under scrutiny at present. But this part of the prayer is where we ask for God's help as we endure the countless struggles, the many trials and troubles we face in life. We'll never avoid temptation because we're human and weak. It's not a sin to be tempted, but to act out and indulge is when it becomes sin. And there are consequences to sin we will have to face. In Middle Eastern culture, they say that temptation comes in one ear as an entrance, but it really ought to go straight out of the other ear quickly as exit. It's not wanted. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies, and we must always be on our guard. As Charles Spurgeon, a well-known preacher, once said, "Beware no man more than of yourself." There are three distinct sections then to the Lord's Prayer which refer to food, forgiveness, and the future, according to the scholar William Barclay, and they're all linked. The first is about present need, the second about past sin, and the third about future welfare and goodness. But there's more. For when we pray for daily bread, we think of God, the Father, creator and sustainer of life. When we pray for the second, the prayer of forgiveness, we think of God, the Son, saviour and redeemer of humankind. And when we pray the third, the prayer for future help, we think of God, the Holy Spirit, our guide along the way, our helper and our protector.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. Temple, draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who wore all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under His wings, yes, so gently sustain. And mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with His love He befriend thee.
That was a very well-known hymn called "Praise to the Lord the Almighty," sung there by Ferdinand Ortega. But to sum up, the beauty of the Lord's Prayer lies in the perfect simplicity of its words. In it we discover the very nature of God as a loving parent. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we praise and adore God our Father at the beginning, right through to the end. If our main priority is not God in life, we soon find that everything else is out of sync. Our health, our emotions, our goals and our relationships. It's rather like not fastening the top button of a cardigan correctly. Let's remember, though, that as well as this core prayer which Jesus taught, there are many different and creative ways to pray too. Prayers that keep us close to God throughout the day. Jesus often set time apart for this kind of prayer and listening to God's will. St. Paul even taught that we should pray without ceasing. May the Lord God draw us closer to Himself each time we turn to Him in prayer. And may He lead and guide us into all truth and to a right way of living. Our final hymn was written by Stuart Townend, and here it is, taken from his album Paths of Grace. But first, let's say goodbye. Andrew?
Bye, everyone.
And bye from me, Sheila Hammer. Do join us next week. Bye for now.
With every morning I will kneel to pray, to be a blessing in this coming day. In everything I say and everything I do, to holy honor you. At noon, remind me through this day to give my full attention to the ones I'm with. Be mindful of those things around and those within, and fully enter in. The wisdom of remembering, and give me the wisdom to forget. Lead me, oh, teach me to live each day for you. Day, let me remember well, so that no bitterness takes root within my soul. Help me to let them go. Teach me the wisdom of remembering and